this morning. Somebody ought to bless them this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Surrender your vessels to him this night, right now. Amen. He needs somebody he can use. Praise the Lord. Amen. Our God is the living God. Amen. We need him more and more each and every day. Praise the Lord. Will you open your Bibles? We're going to read a little portion of Psalms 82. Amen. It was a part of our Thursday. You know, I had been praying to the Lord and an answer concerning my purpose upon the earth. I believe this scripture answered what our purpose is upon the earth. I was thinking, Lord, it can't be that I'm just supposed to be a songwriter just to lead my wife and my children to work on a job or a business. We have a purpose. Out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. People don't understand your commission and what you're trying to do, when you're trying to help. They walk in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. We see that daily. I have said, think on the prophet, Lord God. He realized that he had to be more sincere in stepping into his new ministry, Lord God. He had to move forward, Lord. Father, it took more sincerity for the prophet. How much more, Lord, the sons of God that honor and obey the word that he preached to his father. Father, we must sanctify ourselves, Lord, for our brothers and sisters, Lord, out there that have not come in, that walk in darkness, Lord God. Father, of this world is out of course, Lord God. Father, they call them righteousness, wickedness, and call them wickedness, righteousness, Lord God. They're trying to justify wicked acts, Lord Jesus, and we're trying to lead the people to the light. Father God, we know that the darkest hour comes right before the break of day, and we know the rapture is at hand. So the light is pressing the darkness, and the darkness is being compacted, Lord Jesus. Father, may we now, Lord, stand as the sons and daughters of God that all creation has been brought in and waiting for to be manifested here upon the earth, Lord, to do, Lord, that which you have commissioned us to do. Father, Christians, how that we can be used by you, Lord God, that you may be glorified in our midst, Lord. We expect the supernatural, Lord, for you abide within us, Lord. Have your way in this service, anoint each and every vessel here and all of our brothers and sisters listening. Father, as we surrender to you now, it's in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name we pray. Everything all mixed up. I can't lead you going crazy. The presence of the Lord is here. That is the right song. Surely the presence of the Lord is here. Surely the Lord is here. Say surely. Thank you. Joe's plan has changed right before church. We were listening to the service over there in London. They got us going this morning. Amen, Brother Joe. Brother Joe. That's my brother. Praise the Lord. You all may have your seats. We're going to keep to our specials this morning. Amen. Shock to you, brother. Oh, Father, bless you, precious brother. mind in this battle that we're fighting. Amen. You have to realize there's no retreat in God. We're not going backwards. Amen. We want to keep moving forward. Amen. Let's sing this little chorus real quick. I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be. Change me. Say I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be. For your presence came and changed me. I've been changed. Facebook is SAT Tabernacle. You can also find us at our church's website, john423.org. Sisters have virtual prayer this Tuesday at 7:30. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have a few meetings coming up. We want to pray for each one of these meetings. On September 23rd through the 25th, we have a men's meeting in Tennessee with Brother Barry Coffey. He'll be hosting on October 7th through the 9th. We have youth services. It's going to be here. Brother Jason Watkins is going to be here. So October 7th, we have a youth service. The 8th and 9th, Brother Jason Watkins will be speaking, and that will be here with us. On October 14th through the 16th at Life Tabernacle in Florence, South Carolina, Brother Fred Mullins will be hosting his meeting at that time. On October 27th through the 30th, Bethel Youth Camp in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. Brother Jason Watkins is hosting that. Amen. So we want to be praying for those. As for our giving, we have the wooden box back in the back. You can drop your tithing offering there. Amen. There's three ways of giving: Cash App, Zelle, and PayPal. Our handle on Cash App is $SpiritandTruthT. The email address for both Zelle and PayPal is given at john423.org. Using PayPal, please choose an option. Well, I think they took away that option, so PayPal. Praise the Lord. Amen. And for those desiring to mail in their offering, Spirit and Truth Tabernacle, P.O. Box 222462, West Palm Beach, Florida, 33422. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts, Lord, giving praise to you, Lord, for your great and wondrous acts that you have performed in times past, Lord, what you're doing now, Lord, Father. Lord, you have word to fulfill in our lives, Lord, so we commit all things to you and we trust you, Father. We pray, Lord, that you continue to be with Brother Donnie's daughter. Father, just asking, oh God, that you'll continue to touch her body and minister to her needs, Father. Brother and Sister Capers, Lord, they're not here this morning, Lord, and they're on our hearts, Lord. So, Father God, we ask that you will minister to their needs, give strength to both of them, Lord. Oh, Father God, you told Abraham to come nurse from you, nurse his strength, Lord God. So we're asking, Father, as they feed on your word this morning, may strength be nursed to them, Lord. Not only they, but all of those who are in divine presence, Father God. Father, continue to bless and anoint our pastor. Father, we bring unto you our tithing and offering, Lord, according to your word, Lord. Father, we do it, Lord, with a grateful heart, Lord, being blessed of you, Lord. And Father, we desire to be a blessing to others. So, Father, bless, Lord, our increase in every aspect of our lives, Lord, our walk with you, Lord, our family life, Lord God, our financials, Lord God, everything, Lord. Bless, Lord, we pray. We commit these things to you in the precious and lovely name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Do you love him this morning? Thank you so much, Sister Sarah. It's hard not to get into that song. Amen. This is a song that really describes how you feel. Amen. Will you stand to your feet?
To the Lamb of God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay. We have a prayer request here from Brother Jerry. He's asking that we help lift Uncle Nelson up in prayer before the Lord. He was admitted to the hospital this morning in a lot of pain, and the report is that he is dealing with problems in his prostate. So we want to just take his Uncle Nelson before the Lord even now. Let's just pray. Father, to know that we are sons and daughters of God. That when we pray in the name of Jesus, that is just as if Jesus himself was praying. And to realize that our prayers have no limits, no distance that blocks it from happening. We can be here sending a word of prayer to a man that is in a hospital and his pain can stop right now. That's the power of prayer. So Lord, we might not know Nelson, but you do. He's a relative to Brother Jerry, God, and the man needs a touch from you, Father, even right now. We command this pain that is moving in his body to subside. Lord, that he would be made whole. That we know, Lord, that sometimes problems like this, and Lord, cancer attacking bodies. But Father, you even said in through your prophet that if we could just get the people to believe, not even cancer would stand in the way of their prayer. So Lord, we send this prayer of faith towards Nelson even right now, that you would touch him. If he does not know you in the pardon of sin, may he come to know you, Father, in that way as well. We ask that you would just deliver him from the pain, deliver him from the sickness, deliver him from anything that the enemy is attacking his body with. Lord, we trust that you, God, would just move on his behalf. It's in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. I won't keep you standing. I'll have you join me in your Bibles. Musicians, thank you all so much for your service today, and I certainly appreciate the specials. Amen. From my brother and my daughter. I was just sitting there listening, and I said, well, you know, I'm happy to have loved ones that are serving the Lord. Amen. That are using their talents for God. It means so much. So we thank God. In spite of all that we go through, we have a made up mind. I believe last week we heard you got to have a fixed heart. Amen. It's got to be fixed. And you got to be nailed in where you can't be taken out. No matter what comes, no matter what goes, you got to be nailed in. And even if you nailed in sideways, you still nailed in. Hallelujah, somebody. Glory to God. Amen. So good to be back in the house of the Lord. I want to take a couple scriptures here this morning. And the title that we're using for our sermon is A Calling for His Queen. Amen. Calling for His Queen. And we want to go to the book of Esther and read a few verses there. Praise the Lord. Amen. I saw Sister Jessica there, and it's good to see her, amen, this morning in the house of the Lord. And I know that's Brother Randy and Sister Celine's oldest daughter. Amen. Good to have her, amen, in the house of the Lord as well. Amen. God is good. All right. Just a couple verses that we'll read here out of Esther. Verse 1 says, Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. This is Ahasuerus, which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia, over 127 provinces. That in those days when King Ahasuerus sat on the throne of the kingdom, which was in Shushan in the palace, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the governors being before him. When he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty, many days, even 104 days, And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan, the palace, both unto great and small, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace, where were white, green, and blue hangings fastened with cords of fine linen and purple to silver rings and pillars of marble. The beds were of gold and silver upon a pavement of red and blue and white and black marble. And they gave them drink in the vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another, and royal wine in abundance according to the state of the king. And the drinking was according to the law, none did compel, for so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house that they should do according to every man's pleasure. Also Vashti, the queen, made a feast for the women in the royal house which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, and Abagtha, Zithar, and Carcass, the 7 chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal, to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Amen. Let's just look over here at Revelation 22 and 17, I believe. Praise the Lord. The Bible reads, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Amen. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the ability to read the scripture. But we know that the Holy Ghost has got to come and help us to apply what we've read to where we are living right now. So God, speak to every heart. Take control over this portion of service. Thank you for all that you've done, Lord, through the song leading and the worship. And God, just how our hearts have been lifted up, elevated, so that we could come now, Father, and hear the word of God. So speak, Lord, in the only way that you can to each and every one, those present, those that are online. Speak, God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. Again, our title today is Calling for His Queen. Amen. Calling for His Queen. And I'd like to just open by reading a couple quotes here. One of them is our prophet spoke here in our city here in West Palm Beach, and I'm just kind of picking up this quote out of the sermon testimony. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But it says this in Florence Nightingale, a very lovely woman. They wanted to send, they had 2 airplane tickets that already come in for me to come to Durban, Africa. I laid it on the floor, and Brother Bosworth and I prayed, and I said, Lord, if you'll heal this woman, I'll go to Africa. I can't go now, looky here. So I just committed it to the Lord, sent a handkerchief back to her, and went on. Not long after that, King George of England, when a man by the name, I forget, at Fort Wayne, you remember the meeting at Fort Wayne Gospel Tabernacle, it was a businessman of the city. He had multiple sclerosis and had been a bed patient 10 years. And a vision came over the man, and he was made perfectly whole. Lehman was his name, walked up, and he was a friend to the king's private secretary. Now, this is just somewhat, you know, this is a blessing the way that this works out. So a vision shows over this man by the name of Leman. And he's a friend to the king's private secretary. Amen. And it just so happened that the king was going through the same sickness at the time. So here this man is sharing his personal testimony with the king's private secretary. Glory to God. And the private secretary begins to share this with the king. You know, sometimes we be wondering, how this gospel going to get to different people? And you just can't control how God works. His network is so perfect. God would have a man in Fort Wayne, Indiana, that is a friend to the king's private secretary. This man is healed of a man of this multiple sclerosis through a vision that God gave the prophet. And you can imagine as the secretary is sharing, my friend is healed. My friend is healed. It begins to anoint the faith of the king. So the king does something when his faith is anointed. Let's read it. Amen. It says, and he was a friend to the king's private secretary, and through there, King George of England sent word to me. I have his statements and have his letters of his fields and every, to come pray for him of multiple sclerosis. And so I couldn't go up that time. So I just wired back and told the king that I would pray for him here. Now that sounds like to me, if you would just speak the word only, then my servant will be made whole. Now here the prophet has to tell the king, I can't come. I can't come, amen, to pray for you, but I can pray for you here. And the same God that will answer my prayer there will also answer it here. Oh, hallelujah. Says that God will hear just the same as he would over there. And so then another telegram come through. He said another telegram come through and wanted me to come on over immediately. Later, when I went to England over there to see him, the Lord healed him. He couldn't even stand up for over five minutes at a time. I believe the second day he played 18 holes of golf and never was bothered with it no more until the day he died. And I was in Africa when he died. They found a little tumor here on his lung. Now, Brother Branham say that, but if you go read your history, you'll know that the man was a smoker. Praise the Lord. Right? And see, if Brother Branham would have got over there, he would have had to deal with the sin problem first. All right. Amen. They found a little tumor on his lung. They started to cut it open and air got to it some way. I don't know how, and caused a blood clot to go to his brain and killed him instantly. So a very fine man. Now, King George that I am speaking of, here the prophet had an opportunity. Remember the angel Lord told the prophet that he was going to pray for kings and potentates and important people in the earth and things like that. And here King George is one of the people that Brother Branham prayed for. Not only prayed for, but the man was healed of his multiple sclerosis. Now, he died of something different, but he was healed of his multiple sclerosis. And King George happened to be the father, amen, of Queen Elizabeth. So even the prophet had something to do in this household. Let's look at a little something here, door to the heart. Amen. Oh, this message will go everywhere. This message will reach places where you never thought it would reach. But here the prophet prayed for her father and the man was healed. Amen. Before she became queen, the man was healed. Now, you know these testimonies all over the palace, Buckingham. Glory to God. Who prayed for you? Who had the vision? What's his name? William Branham. Praise God. Well, I need him to come pray. Not, oh, my. Amen. Not no Oral Roberts. Not Billy Graham. Get William Branham. Have him come immediately. And then a prophet has to check the king. Can I put it that way? I can't come, but the prayer of faith will be prayed. And I still believe God will hear my prayer here just the same way he'll hear it there. And if the king would just get a hold of faith, he'll see his healing. And he saw it. All right, let's look at this. Amen. He called him for his queen. All right. Door to the heart. There's a statement that is made here by the prophet. It says, just recently, the Queen of England made a visit to Canada. She also visited the United States. Now, this is Queen Elizabeth II that he's talking about. Now, we do not live in her domain. This is the quote here. I'm sorry if I didn't give you the right. It's paragraph 20, I think, there. But it says, we do not live in her domain. But if she would come to San Jose and would come. I'm sorry. You know what? I don't skip. I'm sorry. Let me go back up. That's where I want to be. So if our own dear beloved President Dwight Eisenhower, the president of this great United States, if he would come to the home of the best Democrat in this country, it would be an honor to you. Though you would disagree with him in politics, but it would be an honor to have President Dwight Eisenhower to call at your door. Amen. My God. I remember preaching this quote once before, and I had some saints sitting here, and I forget who was the president then. They just did not agree with that president at all. And I say, it would be an honor for you to have him at your door. They say, And I just felt like saying, you lying. It would be an honor for any president to come to your house. It would be an honor. Whether you agree with him or don't agree with him, it would be an honor for a president to show up at your house. Amen. Not everybody make it to be president. And you're going to tell me you're going to show out in front of the president? No, you don't do nothing like that. And that's another thing if you're going to the Pope and they want you to bow down and kiss his ring and all that. That's a different thing. All right. Right. But here, you know, here he says it would be an honor to have have President Dwight Eisenhower to call at your door. Just a common ordinary man like we are. And if our beloved president would knock at the door, you want everybody to know it. Amen. You would talk about it the rest of your life. It's the truth anyhow. That Dwight Eisenhower knocked at my door. You'd almost want to build a shrine at your door because the president of the United States came to your door. It says just recently the Queen of England made a visit to Canada, and she also visited the United States. Now, we do not live in her domain, but if she would come to San Jose and would come down to some little humble home and knock at the door, and one of you women would have went to the door, she would have said, I am the Queen of England. Oh, my. Let me get this before I go over my time. I'm sorry. Let me just start that now. I'll lower it just a little bit for you. All right. But he says, if she would come, went to the door, and she would say, I am the Queen of England. Yet she has no jurisdiction over you. But she's an important woman. Your home would have been honored to have her. My, you'd have said great queen because she is, nationally speaking, the greatest queen in the world. Watch what the prophet says now. Nationally speaking. Amen. And you said, come into my home, why to humble herself to do that, to come to a humble home, while all the newspapers would have packed it, that she, the great queen of England, visit America and come to Miss So-and-so's home, it would have marked her always for being that humble. The television would have sent it out. It would have been on national, international news because she's important. But who's more important than Jesus? Hey, who's any more turned down than Jesus? All right, let's go on a little further. It says, he will knock at the door, and you say, oh, some other time.
He's been turned away from more doors than all the great people that ever is on the earth. So I say this very day that Jesus has been turned away from thousands of doors today. And if the world stands before day breaks in the morning, he will be turned away from tens of thousands of other doors. Amen. We'd be all excited if a president came. And we'd be excited if the queen would have come to our house. But my, we ought to be more excited because Jesus is knocking at the door. Oh, they have a song say, oh, won't you let him in? Amen. Heist up your windows. Open up your doors and let Jesus come on in. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So he goes on to say this. He says, if someone, the queen might want something from you, or our beloved president might want something from you. He might have some message for you, want to do something or want you to do something for him. But the Lord Jesus, the only thing that he wants in for is to do something good for you. Amen. The only reason Jesus is knocking at the door is because he wants to do something good for you. Amen. He wants to bless you. Amen. He wants to take away your evil and give you righteousness. Amen. He wants to give you goodness and mercy. That's all he could do. And to get into the heart, he knocks at the door and the people say, oh, some other time. Don't be that way this morning. Amen. If he's knocking at your door, open up and let him in. Amen. It says, now it'll be nice for you to take in the queen or to take in one of the great people, but you'd never do anything better than take in Jesus. Because when he comes in, he gives you eternal life. And to think of turning him away from your heart, but we do it. You know, so as I was just kind of pondering this, I was we had the recent passing of Queen Elizabeth. And, you know, I love the way Brother Branham made this statement. She is, nationally speaking, the greatest queen in the world. Nationally speaking. And I like that because there is another queen in the world. It just in case y'all didn't know, there is another queen that's actually greater than Queen Elizabeth. Amen. She's more important. Amen. Right? The news needs to keep up with her. But this queen, somehow they ignore her. Nobody got nothing to say about this queen. Amen. But she's the greatest queen walking the earth. Hallelujah. She's the queen from heaven. She's married to the Lord Jesus Christ. She's his bride. Amen. And that's the greatest queen that's walking the earth. So nationally speaking, she was a great queen. But there's another queen. All right. I looked at just a few facts here that I wanted to pull from Queen Elizabeth. She reigned for 70 years, and just a few facts before we get into some other things. They were saying that her real birthday is April 21st, but the country doesn't officially celebrate it until June 11th. So they said monarchs with birthdays in colder months typically schedule an additional official birthday when the weather's likely to be better for a parade. So Elizabeth had one every June called Troop in the Color. All right. So she was born April 21st, right? But they celebrate June 11th. Another thing is they say she reigned for so long that 4 out of 5 UK residents weren't even alive when she ascended the throne. And they said 81% of the UK residents weren't alive when Elizabeth ascended the throne. So 81% of people living in the UK right now was not even alive when she accepted the throne. That's how long she'd been reigning. All right, another thing they say, she didn't have a passport or a driver's license. And this is why Brother Branham just said in the quote, it says, if she just came up to your house and say, I'm the queen of England, she didn't need no passport. She didn't need no driver's license. Amen, you just let her in. And not only would you let her in, but every other nation just let her in. No passport, no driver's license. And they said, nor does she need them. Both driver's license and passports are issued in the queen's name. So she didn't need either of them. My goodness. Another little thing they said about her, a 2020 report in the Telegraph suggested that the Queen uses her trusty handbag to subtly exit uncomfortable or boring meetings. They said if the Queen was at dinner and places her handbag on the table, her staff knew that she wanted the event to end in the next 5 minutes. Right? And if she put her bag on the floor, it signaled that she would like to be rescued from her current conversation. So she used that handbag. Another thing they said about her, she had no last name. The Queen's official title was Elizabeth II, by the grace of God, of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, and of her other realms and territories, Queen, head of the Commonwealth, defender of the faith. What a name. And I know another queen that's a defender of the faith, the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Here's another thing they said about her. She couldn't be prosecuted or compelled to give evidence in court. I thought, wow, if God be for us, then who can be against us? Because there's another queen in the land that can't be prosecuted. There is nothing against this queen. And I tell you, I think the devil, he does not like this queen. Because he realized any accusation he brings about this queen will be shut down. It'll be covered in blood. Can't be prosecuted or compelled, amen, to give evidence in court. Another thing that I found here, this is the last little statement, and it says she was related to the man she married. She was related to the man she married. Now, I know another queen that's related to the man she's married to. We've been related to the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, he can only redeem those that he was related to. She was related to the man she married. Philip was her third cousin. Said Elizabeth is related to Queen Victoria on her father's side, and Philip was related to Queen Victoria on his mother's side. So here, you know, we got these little facts about the queen, but and Brother Branham said some positive things about her, but I tell you, there is another queen in the land. Amen, amen, amen. And I want you to just kind of go with me here. This is a quote out of Perfection. Brother Branham makes a statement here. Praise the Lord. It says this here: some time ago when Mr. Baxter was my manager, when the King of England, when we was there to visit, when the Queen come out, and it's talking about King George, right? When the Queen come out, lovely lady, her pretty robe on, her graying hair, and the King sitting so sick at that time he could hardly stand it. He had a stomach trouble with and multiple sclerosis. That was just before he was prayed for, but he could hardly stand up. But yet the royal blood of him stuck what little chest he had out, and he rode down the street in the carriage. Mr. Baxter standing there, and when he passed, I looked at him. His lips was quivering. The tears was running down his cheeks. He put his big arm around me and said, Brother Branham. I said, yes, Brother Braxton. He says, you know, I'm a Canadian. Yes. He says, the man who's over our land, the king, him and his lovely bride and wife is passing by. That's where I can't hold my emotions. I have to give vent. So this man was crying because he saw the king, amen, and his bride passing by. It just caused emotions just to kind of come out of him. So Brother Branham took advantage of the moment. And he says, I put my arm around him. I said, Brother Baxter, as a Christian with you, what will it be some glorious day when the king comes with his bride? If a man could think that when seeing an earthly king, which is mortal like we are, what will it be when we see the King of Kings coming in glory? What a glorious time that'll be. I say, praise the Lord. I was just kind of looking at this. You know, all over the world, people are infatuated with the queen and the kings of England and all of that. They're just infatuated with it. Even though they're not even under the jurisdiction, they're still infatuated with it. And I was just thinking to myself, maybe the reason that people are so infatuated with it is because they can identify. Amen. Hallelujah. They can identify being the queen of heaven. As the bride of Christ, we can identify with our position. Oh, glory to God. We can identify with our place. We can identify. We are the queen of heaven. Amen. I just thought about this. Amen. And, you know, there's been a number of queens that we can kind of look back to even in scripture. And just one, she was only queen for a very small amount of time. Amen. Sarah was a queen. Sarah was given by Abraham to the king. My God, that made Sarah queen. Now, she her reign didn't last too long. Praise God. Amen. But while she was in the house was cursed because she was married to another man. And God had to protect Sarah because he had made a promise that, amen, Abraham was going to have a son through Sarah. He could not let Sarah be touched by this other king. He said, now give that man back his wife and let him pray for you. Glory to God. But here we see Sarah's holding that position as a queen. Glory to God. Amen. We see other queens that we can find in scripture. I read about Esther, and we'll talk about her in a little bit. But another queen that I wanted to kind of pick up this morning, amen, is the queen of Sheba. Amen. Glory to God. Look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 42. Amen. Matthew 12, 42. The Bible speaks to this queen, the queen of Sheba. And it calls her, amen, it says, the queen of the south, amen, shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Oh, I love this thought here. A greater than Solomon is here. That lady pressed through a lot of things. Amen. In order to get into the presence of Solomon, what we find there, Brother Branham gives us a really, really good picture. You know, how she had to kind of go against some of the teachings of her day. And maybe some of the priests that would have told us, now, if you go over there to Israel, then you're going to have to denounce your faith. And how she have to stand there and say, now, you know, your mother was this and your father was this. Say, I understand what mama did and what daddy did, but I can't stay here when I hear God is moving over there in Israel. Say, God, I ain't heard nothing about God moving here. I want to go where the move is on. And she began to press her way out of that condition. Say, she had to make a choice that she was going to leave the environment that she was in to go hear the wisdom of Solomon. She realized that God had sent a revival amongst his people, and she kept hearing testimony after testimony until it finally got her to a spot. She's like, I got to go and hear this man for myself. Praise God. Now, the thing that Brother Branham told us, say this woman would have to jump on the back of a camel. And on the back of a camel, she had to travel 90 days through the desert. And I want you to try to get this in your mind, you know, the prophet tried to dress it up. You got to think about, where was she going to go and use the restroom? Yeah. Yeah. 90 days, wasn't no hotels along the way. Yeah. Right? But she had a something in her heart that no matter what I got to go through, I got a made up mind. Amen. I'm going to press to get into this man's presence. So whatever happens along the way, that's what happens. While she was on the journey, Brother Branham said they were the sons of Ishmael, and they were robbers in the desert. They were constantly looking for people that they could take advantage of. And here this one queen coming by with all of her servants, and amen, they were an easy target, but somehow God protected them from the robbers. Amen. I tell you, when you got something in your heart to do for the Lord, God will protect you and make sure that you get to your destination. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. The conditions were very, very, very rough. Amen. Very tough. But over a three-month period, she finally makes it into the presence of Solomon. And I just love the way the scripture puts it. We're going to pick up a couple things, amen, here in the scripture. Watch this out of 1 Kings chapter 10. Let's pick this up. This queen of Sheba. Judgment will come to other generations because of how this lady pressed through so many things to get into the presence of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People don't press through nothing nowadays. Amen. But this lady had to press through so many things just to get into the presence of God. Now, I want you to catch this in Scripture. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 3. Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. So she had some things. She said, I need to ask this guy some questions when I get there. And when she got there, everything she had in her heart was revealed to her through the wisdom of Solomon. She had never run into a man like this. What an anointing that was on this king. Says, and when the queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, good God, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers. I want y'all to get this. This lady is observing all around. It's one thing, you know, for her to observe Solomon. Glory. But she wanted to observe the people, amen, that were with Solomon. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. There's some churches where when you go in, the only person blessed is the pastor. Hallelujah. Amen. But you're not looking for a church like that. You're looking for a church where everybody in the church is blessed. Hallelujah, somebody. Right? You know, but here, you know, this woman is looking at some things, say, the meat of his table, the sitting of his servants, the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, my God, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord. Oh, my. I can imagine the way that he went up into the house of the Lord is with his hands lifted and his voice raised, and he's praising God because of all the things God has done for him. Amen. It says, and the way he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Look at this. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believe not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard. Glory to God. Look at this. Happy are thy men. I like that. Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. Amen. You want to go to a church, amen, where the saints in the congregation are happy and want to be there. You don't want to go to a church where you're embarrassed. Right? The pastor embarrasses you all the time. Amen. You want to go where everybody can be happy. We're happy we're getting the word, the bread of life. We're happy that we're getting the truth. We're happy that we're blessed, amen, financially. We're happy that we're blessed spiritually. We're happy that we're blessed. We're happy to be in the right place at the right time. Amen. Come to church and people got a sour look on their face. They're here because somebody made them be here. No, you don't want that. No, I'm happy to go into the house of God. I just know when I get to church, I'm going to hear from God. I don't care who preaching. I know I'm going to hear from God. I'm happy to go to church. Oh, I know what I'm talking about because I done been in situations where I dreaded going to church. I had a hard time putting my clothes on to get to the house of God. I'm the only one like that I see. I'm like, Lord, I know I'm not supposed to be like this. I'm supposed to be enjoying the presence of the Lord. But why I'm having such a hard time to get out to the house of God? It's hard for me to get in my car. Amen. And I mean, when Sunday morning comes, I'm like, oh, Sunday's here. I'm the only one like that. I know it. I'll be the first one to admit it. Oh, Sunday is here. Oh, Lord. Let me just try to get through these few hours. Oh, I'm the only one. I know I'm the only one like that. But when God puts you in a place where Sunday morning come, I'm a kids get ready. Everybody get ready. We got to go to church.
We're going to hear from God when we get there. Amen. I'm happy to be in the presence of the Lord. Happy are thy men. Glory to God. Happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. Now watch this. This woman, I told you, had to be protected on the desert. She had to go through some real trying things for a woman to take a 90-day journey on a camel. Think about the conditions of her riding. We won't even get in an air-conditioned car and go some places. 90 days on the back of a camel, moving very slow, right? But here she's making her way through the desert just to get into the presence of Solomon. And when she came, hallelujah, once she was convinced that God was God, that God was in the midst of this, this woman was carrying something very precious with her. Amen. If he can answer all these questions that I got something to give him. Now look at what happens here in verse 10. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Now, you know, we have to convert. Amen. Into our language today, what is this 120 talents of gold? What she was carrying with her, amen, through the desert on the back of a camel was $325,128,000. Now, if that's in today's terms, that's how much money she was carrying. Now, I need you to understand that she was so excited about what she saw, amen, there in the kingdom of Israel, that she wanted to give everything that she had to it. Amen. Now, I'm not asking you to give all your money. Don't empty out your bank accounts and things like that. Just your tithe and offering. That's all you give God. But give God your heart. Give God your time. Give God your commitment. Give him 110%. Give God everything you can. But you know, Solomon got this offering from her, and you know, it didn't change him. It didn't change him. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. It shouldn't change us like that, because God bless us like that. And I'm going to tell you why it didn't change. I didn't hear this. Brother Solomon sent me a video this week, and I was watching this. You know, it's just something. People that are underneath this prosperity type ministries, people that underneath that, they see things in the scriptures that most of us just pass right over. And I had passed right over something. You know, in the chapter before, there was a king by the name of Hiram. Read it in chapter 9, verse 14. Glory to God. Actually, I think I might want to read just a little bit ahead of that. Go maybe start me at 11. Okay, now Hiram the king of Tyre had furnished Solomon with cedar trees and fir trees and with gold according to all his desire. That then the king Solomon gave Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee. Next verse. And Hiram came out of Tyre to see the cities which Solomon had given him, and they pleased him not. Now I thought about this. Why this man has... He doesn't realize what he was given. Cities that were near or in the land of Galilee. Is that what the verse previous to that said? Yeah. Amen. In the land, the city, 20 cities in the land of Galilee. And when the man come and saw the cities, it pleased him not. Woo. I want you to understand what this man is looking at. Because, you know, later on there was a great person. Amen. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He also came from Galilee. And remember, they asked the question, can any good thing come out of Galilee? Right? But here, this man missed an opportunity to be identified with something. But let's go on a little further. Even in his disappointment, And he said, what cities are these which thou hast given me, my brother? And he called them the land of Kabul until this day. Look at this. Look at this. The next verse. And Hiram sent to the king 60 talents of gold. What is that 60? It's 120. If I recall correctly, it's 120. So what happened is that he gave the same exact offering that the Queen of Sheba gave. So it didn't change Solomon because he'd already seen it before. And let me just put it like this to you. Amen. When God blesses you, and I say when, because it's going to happen. Don't let the blessing change you. And can I go a little further? Can I prophesy? You know that one big blessing you're looking for? God going to double it. But don't let it change you. See, when you can handle it, he can give it to you. And he can give it to you again. He can give it to you again because you can handle it. It didn't stop Solomon. He was still there serving and doing everything he was supposed to do, even after the blessing. Some of us get a blessing. Next thing you know, we're not found in church no more. Where you at? Amen. You came vacation every week. All right. But here, you know, we see this this queen of Sheba who pressed away into Solomon's kingdom. And all she wanted to do is just hear the word of the Lord and see how God was using him. And because of the way that she pressed, the way that she got there and all the perils that she had to go through, the scripture told us there in Matthew 12:42, that the queen of the south was going to rise up in judgment with this generation. And shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Don't let her testimony bring condemnation to you. Here's another queen that we see, amen, in the scripture. And we picked her up as we read about Esther. And let's just kind of look at her just for a little bit. Amen. Esther is, I don't want to call her, amen, a secondary thought. In God's mind, she was the queen. And God had to allow a certain situation to happen in the kingdom so Esther can be brought to her position. Oh, hallelujah. What did God do? Amen. He had a queen on the throne at the time by the name of Vashti. Amen. And Vashti, during this great celebration with the women and King Ahasuerus had his own celebration going. But at the end of 7 days, King Ahasuerus said, I want everybody to see how beautiful my wife is. And here he calls for his queen. Glory to God. He calls for his queen. And what we find with Vashti is that she rejected the call of the king. Hallelujah. Glory to God. By her rejecting the call of the king, she got rejected as queen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. What we see is that Vashti failed to obey the word of her king. Amen. But here today, God has a people in the land, amen, that will not fail to obey the word of their king. Hallelujah. Amen. So here we want to just kind of look at a couple things here. Amen. Esther was what we would call the perfect type of the bride. She was an oddball. Amen. This lady was very different in a lot of ways. And one of the things that we find is that she had a situation that she'd gone through. She lost both a father and lost a mother. She was an orphan. Hallelujah. She was raised, taken in to be raised by her uncle. And her uncle was a very, very strict man. This man has some serious conviction. Hallelujah. I love Mordecai. He had serious conviction. He would not bow to Haman. Amen. Whatever they was doing, whatever everybody else was doing, he refused to do what everybody else was doing. Say, I'm going to have to do it this way. And now he knew his position. He knew who he was. And he says, now Esther, they're looking for a new queen. He says, now what you need to do is make sure you go in there and don't tell them anything about you. Don't tell them where you come from, who your people are. Don't say nothing. Hallelujah. And I love the advice that he gave Esther because, amen, just with her natural beauty, she wooed the king. Just with her natural beauty, no additions. Amen. She wooed the king. Amen. And sisters, the only way you're going to woo the king in this hour, amen, is with your natural beauty. He will beautify the meek with salvation.
Woo, hallelujah. You see, Esther raised up in a household like this, it caused her to kind of develop some convictions of her own. And, you know, Mordecai was a man that, you know, he gave her advice. He checked on her. He watched out for her. And he did all the things that he needed to do. But he raised her. And not only that, I mean, the king wasn't just looking for any kind of woman. The king wanted a virgin. Hallelujah. They were going through the land looking for the virgins. Amen. So living in Mordecai's house, Mordecai would have to tell him, no, you're not going to that party. No, you're not going to that person's house. No, you're not going to do this because in there you might get tricked into something. And you got to keep yourself until you get married. Mordecai was a strict uncle. But his strictness paid off in the end. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Parents, you might have to pick up that level of strictness again. Your strictness will pay off in the end. You don't know who God got for your daughter. Teach her the right ways. Keep yourself till you get married. Tell your son the same thing. Keep yourself till you get married. It'll save you a lot of headaches. Esther was an oddball. Esther, amen, here in this kingdom, she was an Israelite. But here she's amongst all the girls from India and, amen, Ethiopia. Could have been people from all over because this kingdom spanned it for a long place. It was a long ways. A lot of young ladies that come. All these young ladies looking different. You can imagine. Ethiopian standing. If you ever been, we had to pass through Ethiopia one time. And, you know, and I was kind of stuck in an airport there for about 8 hours. And just watching the people, I'm like, my, I've never seen people that look like this. I've never seen people like, I mean, what, I mean, you see all kind of things when you get into other parts of the world, right? Amen. But here you can imagine the king seeing all these different women and everybody maybe coming and not confident about their natural beauty. Come on, somebody. Amen. Not confident with who God has made them. So maybe when they get there and the chamberlain suggests, put on this and wear this and put on that. And this might please the king. Esther say, no, I ain't wearing none of that. If he don't like me the way I am, then he just won't like me. If this thing is of God and I'm supposed to be the queen, then I'm going to be the queen just like I am. Hallelujah. Thank God for an Esther. Esther walks before the king, and the king said, yeah, this is the one right here. And here, you know, we're going to pick it up in a few quotes here. Marriage of the Lamb, Brother Branham makes a statement about Esther. He says, Esther purged her heart before God. I like this. Walked up with a meek and humble spirit. The church that's going to be the bride of Christ. Now remember, Esther refused the worldly adornment. I'm not putting no paint on my face. I'm not putting no paint on my fingers. I'm not putting no paint on my feet.
Amen.
Praise the Lord on my toes. No paint, no paint, no paint.
Amen.
I wasn't born with paint. God, I was fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm not going before the king with paint. Hallelujah. This is just a natural beauty.
Amen.
Say, Esther purged her heart before God, walked up with a meek and humble spirit, the church that's going to be the bride of Christ. Now remember, Esther refused the worldly adornment. She took the spirit in her heart to go before the king. Look, and the woman today, the church that thinks she's going to get in because she's got more numbers, she's the best dressed crowd, she's got the biggest organization, the biggest church in the city and things like that, you'll miss it a million miles if you're depending on that. Look at this. It's a sweet, kind, reverent spirit to the word. I want to say that again. It's a sweet, kind, reverent spirit to the word of God. Washed by the water of the word and the word in you. It's a washing. Amen. When I read that quote, I got up and took off around the chair running. It's a sweet, amen, kind, reverent spirit to the word of God. Remember, Vashti did not have this kind of spirit. Vashti would tell the king, no, I'm not coming when you call for me to come. I come when I'm ready to come. Vashti has her own party going on. Hallelujah. Vashti is doing her own thing. But Vashti did not realize by her doing her own thing, she was going to be rejected. He is calling for his queen, a queen that has a sweet, kind, reverent spirit. Not a reverent spirit to Brother Jack. Not a reverent spirit to just what the prophet said, but a reverent spirit to what the word of God is saying, because the prophet is saying what the word said. And you know what Brother Jack is saying? What the word said. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You got to have a sweet, kind, reverent spirit to the word of God. Washed by the water of the word.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen.
And the word in you is a washing. He's calling for his queen. But now as this queen is coming, amen, she has to present herself a certain way. She can't present herself like the world. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm talking about a greater queen than the queen that everybody else is talking about. I'm talking about the queen of heaven this morning. She has to present herself in a different way. Look at this. It says, that's right, not just a part washing, but a full gospel washing.
Amen.
Cleaned up, made new creatures in Christ Jesus. I like what he said here. All right, let me go on a little further. Here's another quote out of Meanest Man I Know. Amen. The meanest man I know. Look at this. The prophet makes a statement in this message. He says the church is a whole lot like it was in the days of Esther. He says Esther didn't take the perfuming of the women. She adorned herself with modest apparel, the hidden man of the heart, and the king said, put the crown on her head. Amen. Esther was a type of the church today. Those who are ready to come out and adorn themselves with the sweetness of the Holy Spirit, not the perfuming and the dressing of the world, try to compare with them, but that hidden man of the heart, that's the one. I'm going to tell you, they had a thing about, you know, the queen when she was younger, Queen Elizabeth. Her and her sister, I think at the end of one of the wars, they wanted to go out and be amongst the people. And so they kind of took all their royal stuff off and they just kind of dressed down. So they just looked normal, just like everybody else. And as they went out, a lot of people had no idea that the queen was in their midst. My God. Now, you know, she's dressing down in order to try to achieve that. But here as the bride of Christ, we always dress down. We don't dress like the world.
Amen.
We don't look like the world. We don't act. I mean, our dresses. Now, look, we still look nice.
Right.
But we just don't look like the world.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Our sisters ain't got to wear a dress with half of this hanging out.
Right.
It's the truth in it, high. This too tight and that. No, we ain't got to dress like that to get nobody attention. You know, a woman that wear makeup, she only wear that to appease men. Praise the Lord. That's only to appease man. That's not to appease God.
Right.
You don't do that for the glory of God. You do that to appease a man.
Right.
And maybe sometimes it might not be another man. You might appease other women.
Uh-oh.
It's the truth in it, high. You just want compliments. And the only people compliment you is another girlfriend. Watch her. She might have a spirit on her.
That's right.
Amen. All right. Glory to God. Amen. You just think about it. What men gave you compliments when you did that? Mm-hmm. Some wolf out there give you a compliment.
That's right.
Praise God. But brothers ain't going to say nothing to you.
Amen.
A real son of God won't say nothing to you dressed like that.
Amen.
And you wonder why he ain't saying that? Because he ain't looking for nothing like that.
Amen.
He looking for a real queen.
Amen.
Is this all right? Oh, my. So look, you know, we see this, amen, in the story of Esther. Vashti was a perfect type of the church that rejected the word in her day, the word of the king. Amen. And Esther, my God, she didn't go along with everything that everybody else was doing. She just took it the way God gave it to her. And, you know, like I say, raised in a very strict home. But my, the blessing is that she was chosen to be queen. And not only was she chosen to be queen, she was chosen at the right time to be queen. Because as soon as she was chosen to be queen, this other guy, Haman, came up with a plan. He says, you know what? I'm going to kill all the Jews. And the reason I'm going to kill these Jews, amen, is because, you know, they're not like us. They don't handle themselves like us, and they just do everything different. Maybe we want to have a party. They refuse to come to the party. We want to do this. They refuse to do that. We want to go to church and worship. They won't go to church with us. They just are strange people. We got to get rid of all the Jews. Then it was one specific Jew that he really didn't like. Every time I ride through the city, there's this guy by the name of Mordecai. He refuses to bow when he sees me coming. And he knows I'm a man of with authority. He knows he's supposed to bow. But this man refuses. Hallelujah. But remember, as Esther was told, don't tell him who your people are. Don't tell him, amen, that you're a Jew. Don't even tell him who your uncle is. Don't tell him nothing. But there come a time where she couldn't hold the secret. Amen. Here Haman decided to say, I'm gonna slay everybody. I'm gonna get some root. I'm getting something from the king to say I can kill all the Jews. He says, I'm gonna get this thing written up and get the king's signature. And I'm going to town on these Jews, and I'm gonna set it for a certain day. You realize Esther was only a queen for 2 months before this thing went out. 2 months she was there, but God had prepared it that she would be in place and she would have favor with the king, that whatever she asked the king, she could get.
Amen.
When it came time for Mordecai to say, now Esther, you know, there's a poster going out that all the Jews gone down a certain day. Esther, we're going to need you to go before the king and stand in the gap. I like this. Esther is standing as a redeemer. Esther is the only one that can go before the king. Esther is the only one, amen, that can stand in the gap for her people. Nobody else could do it.
Yes,
this thing has already been signed. Esther, what you going to do? She said, you know what? I can't go, because if I go and I'm not called, it's death. It's death to me. He says, well, don't forget you're a Jew. And even though you're in the house, you're still a Jew. And the same guy that's coming after us out here, he be coming after you in there. So Esther said, that's good advice. Y'all start praying. Y'all start fasting. She says, I love it because these words, amen, still ring through history. This queen stood up. And she said, now, I realize it's a chance of me taking my life. But she said, if I perish, let me perish. She says, but I'm going inside to see this king. And she put on her best apparel. And she got up and she walked into the presence of Ahasuerus. And he says, Queen Esther, what would you like? She said, I want you to come to my banquet that I got prepared. And I want you and Haman to come. Haman said, oh, yeah. I'm going to the banquet with Esther. Man, I really been blessed. Esther, go back another day. Say, I want y'all to come back again tomorrow. After she said, do the banquet, I want y'all to come back again tomorrow. And say, says, okay, and I'll share with you what I want to share with you. Here, Haman just thinking everything going, and here Mordecai still refusing to stand in his presence and still refusing to bow or whatever in his presence. He say, I just can't stand this guy, Mordecai. went in, got up early one morning to go see the king, say, you know what, I want to take Mordecai out myself. I got gallows that I'm hanging in my house, that I'm gonna hang this guy. But as he's going inside the house, I love the Lord. The king couldn't sleep. He woke up that morning, and here come Haman knocking on the door and says, King, say, before you say a word, let me say something to you. He says, anyone that you saw do something for the king, something and the king didn't reward him, what would you do for that person? He says, well, if it was me, I would put him on a horse, and I would make some men walk before him. And I would make those men yell out in the streets, this is what the king does for those that the king wants to honor. Hallelujah. This is what the king does for those he wants to honor. And he said, that's what I would do if it was me, king. He says, is that right? He says, okay, get your horse. And he's thinking, oh, who you going to make ride before me, Lord? I mean, king, who you going to make ride before me? He says, no, nobody going to ride before you. You going to walk before Mordecai. You're going to put Mordecai on your horse, and you're going to walk before Mordecai, and you're going to say the same words that you just told me that you would say. This is what the king does to honor those that honor the king. Glory to God. And here he got the gallows built. Amen. And he's already out honoring Mordecai, the very guy that he's coming against. He has to honor him. God know how to make your enemies your footstool, but you got to let God do it. Here he comes, and he's walking out. Amen. And as he's just going through the city, this is how the king honors and honors him. He finally made it back home, and he just fell on his bed just in grief. He couldn't, wife, I can't believe I'm so embarrassed that the king made me do this. And here come a knock on the door. You're supposed to be at dinner. Didn't get a chance to say bye to his wife. When he got to dinner, Esther revealed who she was. Esther said, you know, there's a edict that's been signed by you, king, and all the people, the Jewish people, are going to die on a certain day. Well, who going to do something like that? This guy Mordecai came up with that plan. What? And say, and king, you didn't know I'm a Jew. So make you got to give me something that I can kind of reverse this thing. Say, well, I can't change what I wrote, but I will let the Jews fight for themselves. And that guy, that same guy, Haman, amen, and said, now he got gallows already in his house waiting to try to kill my uncle. Says, well, you know, I tell you what, let him be hung on his own gallows. Watch the devil now to think the trap that he's trying to set for you is the same trap he got about to fall into. You know, I just read to y'all earlier about Queen Elizabeth. Anytime she could not be called into law. She can be called into court for anything. She can be charged for anything. There was nothing against her. Queen Esther kind of stood in the same place. Amen. She, her people, not only upheld her, but she stood for her people that they would not even die. They'd be able to defend themselves. What a queen. I want you to look at a couple things here from the prophet. Vashti was a perfect type of the church. I want to bring this out of Laodicean church age. She's the perfect type of the church, but Queen Esther represents the bride. Here, Brother Branham makes a statement in the Laodicean church age. He says, a momentary consideration of church history will prove how accurate this thought is. In the dark ages, the word was almost entirely lost to the people. But God sent Luther with the word. And when I look at God sending Luther and sending these messages, it's just like them seven chamberlains, amen, that went to Queen Vashti. But she refused to listen. My God, God sent seven messengers, amen, to the Gentile church in this day. And we have received the word. We have not rejected the word. We have received the word. God sent Luther with the word. The Lutherans spoke for God at that time. But they organized. And again, the pure word was lost, for organization tends toward dogma and creeds. And, you know, I'm just looking at this, how they organized. Vashti organized too. She organized her own party for the women. Hallelujah. I wonder why she organizing a party for the women and no men are there. What is that Vashti telling the women? Maybe she said, now, I'm going to tell y'all what. Now, when he comes for me, I'm going to show y'all how we're going to do this. Glory to God. Amen. Look at this. It says, Lutheran spoke for God at that time, but they organized. And again, the pure word was lost, for organization tends towards dogma and creeds and not simple word. They could no longer speak for God. Then God sent Wesley, and he was the voice with the word in his day. The people who took his revelation from God became the living epistles read and known of all men for their generation. When the Methodists fell, God raised up others, and so it has gone on through the years until in this last day, there is again another people in the land who under their messenger will be the final voice to the final age. I'm talking to that group of people this morning. The church, Vashti, the church is no longer the mouthpiece of God. It is its own mouthpiece. So God is turning on her. He will confound her through the prophet.
Amen.
Hello, somebody.
Hello.
He will confound her. He will confound her through the prophet and the bride. For the voice of God will be where? In her. Praise God. Yes, it is. For it says in the last chapter of Revelation, verse 17, the spirit and the bride say, come. Once more, the world will hear direct from God as at Pentecost. But of course, that word bride will be repudiated as in the first age. I thank God that the word is already in the bride. You talk about a queen in the land. There's a queen here. And the king is calling for his queen to stand by his side. But stand dressed according to this word. Hallelujah. Let me give you a couple more quotes here. Out of the breach between the seven church ages and the seven seals, the prophet makes this statement. Oh, yes, Lord. It says, but you see, that sleeping virgin ain't receiving anything anyhow. That's right. And remember, while they went to try to buy oil, you remember the scripture doesn't say they got it. But while they were out trying to buy it, there come a sound. What happened? All those virgins that slept arose and trimmed their lamps and went into the supper. Is that right? He says, and the rest was left for the tribulation period. Right? Weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. That's the church, not the bride. Amen. The bride went in. And I love this. There's a whole difference between the church and the bride. There's a whole difference between the church and the bride. Yes, sir. Went into the wedding supper. Oh, notice, boys. It says the seals was broke. Why? In the last church age. The seals was broke in the last church age to reveal these truths. Why? The Lamb broke the seals and revealed them to his church in order to collect his subjects for his kingdom, his bride. See, oh my, he wants to bring his subjects to him now. What is it? Out of the dust of the earth, out of the bottom of the sea, out of the pits, out of everywhere and every place, out of the regions of the dark. Glory to God. I don't care where you at. God is calling for his bride to stand by his side. Amen. It says, out of the dust, out of the bottom sea, out of the pits, out of everywhere, in every place, out of the regions of the dark, out of paradise, wherever they may be, he will call and they will answer. Amen. 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 He will call and they'll answer. He come to get his subjects. He revealed his secrets and they saw it. And time is no more at that time. Time has run out. It's finished. All right. Look at this. He leaves the throne to be an intercessor. As a slain lamb to be a lion king to bring the world to judgment, who has rejected his message. He's not a mediator. And see, Vashti rejected the message of the chamberlains. It wasn't the king that came and asked for Vashti. It was the chamberlains that came to get Vashti. Hallelujah. And if I can put it this way, it wasn't the king himself that was coming to get his bride. Amen, but he sent seven messengers.
Right, right.
Hallelujah. Friends of the bridegroom. And to reject the friends of the bridegroom is just like rejecting the bridegroom. When Vashti rejected it, she got rejected. All right. Stay with me here. All right. Look, it says he's not a mediator. Remember the Old Testament teaching now as we hurry. When the blood went off the mercy seat, what was it? Judgment seat. And when the lamb slain walked forth from eternity out of the Father's throne and took his rights, it was a judgment seat. Then he become not a lamb, but a lion. King. And he calls for his queen to stand by his side. Amen. And I believe that's the season and time that we're living in right now. Don't let these things go over you. Don't get so, amen, enamored with what's going on naturally that you fail to miss your spiritual position. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. One king has died, but another one has been born. I hope you understand what I'm saying. One queen has died, but another one has been born, born by the word.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
And I'm not taking from what has happened. I'm not, but I am. I mean, the whole purpose is that you would know your position.
Right.
And God uses natural to type the spiritual.
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. Don't miss your position. You are this great queen, the queen of heaven that is on the earth right now. Just like they didn't know Esther was there. They didn't know it, but there comes a time where God will use this bride to be the final voice to the final age. Don't fail to miss your part.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
This last quote that I want to read here out of Thyatira Church Age. Oh, he's calling for his queen to stand by his side. God is calling for his queen to stand by his side. Hey, hallelujah. I tell you what, when it was time for Esther to be shown amongst the people, she had no problem standing by her king's side. Vashti had a problem with it,
right.
but Esther didn't have a problem with it. And Esther got favor with the king because of her meek spirit.
Amen.
Look at this now. Thyatira and Church Age, Brother Branham makes a statement. Let us go back to the beginning. Says in the original physical creation as we know it today, God made everything in pairs. Look at this, male and female. There were two chickens, rooster and hen. Says there were two cattle, the cow and the bull. He says, and right down the line, but when it came to man, there was only one. They were not a pair. It says Adam had been made in the image of God. He was a son of God. As a son of God, he could not be tempted and fall. Watch it. He could not be tempted and fall. Adam as a son of God cannot be tempted and fall. Think about that. You know, the queen, she couldn't even be brought to court. Right? But as sons of God, Adam in the original condition, he could not be tempted and fall. All right, watch this. That would be impossible. Look at it. So God took a byproduct of man to cause the fall. Stay with me. Woman never stepped fresh from the hand of God as a true product of God. Now, let's catch this now. Let's make sure we catch this. We're talking about a man, the physical part of the woman. Now, the spiritual part was a part of God.
Amen.
That spiritual part was also a part of Adam. When he first brought Adam, he was both male and female. So that spiritual part was there. But when God took the spirit out of that feminine spirit, let me say that again. Let me be very, very clear. God took the feminine spirit out of Adam.
Amen.
So if you see Adam with a feminine spirit, it's a perversion. Because God took the feminine spirit out of Adam, and then he also took a rib out of Adam, and he formed Eve.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Praise God. All right. It says, so God took a byproduct of man to cause the fall. Woman never stepped fresh from the hand of God as a true product of God. She was produced from man. And when God caused her to be brought forth from man, she was vastly different from other females.
he had created. She was able to be seduced. No other female in creation can be immoral, but the human female may be touched at almost any time. Look at this. And that weakness in her allowed Satan to seduce her by way of the serpent. And has brought the woman. This is a very, very important statement here. Amen. It's brought the woman to a very peculiar position before God and his word. Watch it now. She is the type of all things vulgar. You having a hard time with that one? Just put that in. Type of all things vulgar. Just type that in. Type, T-Y-P-E, of all things vulgar. V-U-L-G-A-R. I think that should be only one. And I'm reading from Thyatira and Church Age. All right. Want to make sure y'all get this one. All right. So he says now that weakness in her allowed Satan to seduce her by way of the serpent and has brought the woman to a very peculiar position before God and his word. She is the type of all things vulgar. Not only that, foul and loathsome on the one hand. Now, see, that's very important that we get that on the one hand. On the one hand. Because that's the way some people preach it. They always preach it on the one hand. But we got to preach it on the other side, too. It's two hands to a body. She's the type of all things vulgar, foul, and loathsome on the one hand. And on the other hand, she's the type of all things clean and beautiful and holy as the receptacle of the spirit and blessings of God. Amen. On the one hand, she is called the whore who is drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now, let's talk about the Catholic Church. On the other, she is called the bride of Christ. On one hand, she is called Mystery Babylon, the abomination before God. Amen. And on the other hand, she is called New Jerusalem, our mother. Amen. On the one hand, she is so foul and wicked and lewd that she is summarily cast into the lake of fire as the only fit place for her. But I want to talk about the other hand. But on the other hand, she's exalted to heaven, sharing the very throne of God as the only place. Befitting such a queen. Who is this queen where this place is befitting? I'm speaking to her this morning. The bride of Jesus Christ. And he is calling for his queen to stand by his side. Oh my. I thought it was just very, very appropriate for us to remind you of who you are. Amen. You're not Vashti. Your type is Esther. Amen. And everything Esther did, that's what you want to do. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Amen. By Esther submitting herself to the word, Esther refusing to be adorned with the things of the world, Esther did all those things. Esther was blessed in the end. And church, this is what happened to us. There's another voice in the land. There's another voice in the land. And that voice, the voice of God, is speaking through the bride in this last day. That final voice to the final age will be the bride. And notice what the bride going to do. The bride going to say, when the Bible says the spirit and the bride say come, it's because the spirit, the bride, and the prophet will say the same thing. The spirit going to tell the prophet to say it. Amen. The bride going to pick up what the prophet said. And the bride going to keep echoing that. I don't care how old fashioned it may seem. But we're going to say what the prophet said. Amen. And we're going to live the way the prophet told us to live. Because there's a throne that's befitting for this type of lady. Amen. It's the throne that he has prepared for us. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful.
Lord, for all that you're doing in our midst. We can see our place in Scripture. You can look at the life of Esther, even, Lord, the life of the Queen of Sheba and all that she pressed through to get to your presence. Lord, sometimes we have to press over a lot of stuff to get into your presence, but we're determined to get there. And Father, we want to live a life that is pleasing to you. We don't want to please the world, please our friends, please our associates. We want to please our God. Lord, even as Esther was there and Lord didn't realize what her purpose was, maybe I'm pretty and I got selected to be king, but within 2 months' time, she realized what her real purpose was. She had to stand in the gap and be a redeemer for her people. And Lord, she walked into that responsibility with such a courage. If I die, let me die. But I'm going to see the king. I got to do it. If he doesn't extend that scepter to me and give me grace, then oh well, but I got to do this for my people. We thank you for a woman like that, that would have that type of courage to realize what you had called her to. Help us, Lord, to recognize what you have called us to in this hour. Not to let down, amen, the bars, amen, and things of this world, but help us, Lord, to hold the standard high. To live according to the word of God. Not just something that Brother Jack said or something, you know, Brother Jack saying what the prophet said. No, the prophet read it out of the Bible. Brother Jack read it out of the Bible. It is what you said, God. So I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us, Lord, to come to this, to hear your voice. And may you, Lord Jesus, get all the glory and all the honor out of the lives that we would live. Thank you to call us to a place like this. Oh, there is a throne befitting for such a queen that will honor the word of God, a queen that will live according to the truth. There's a throne, a place befitting for such a woman. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for calling us. It's in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus that we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for the song. Why don't you stand to your feet? Amen. Let's worship the Lord just a little bit. Father God, with grateful hearts, Lord. Father, just thinking in our minds, oh God, what that day will be like. Someday that day will be a reality, Lord. That day must be fulfilled because it is written. Your bride must make herself ready. We heard today, Lord God, as you were clothing us with your word, Lord. Father, our ministry, Lord, will be the final voice to this final age, Lord Jesus. Lord, we must be so sincere, Lord God, because souls are weighed in the balance, Lord. And Father, even as Queen Esther was a redeemer, Lord, so are we. Father, may we give our lives daily to you, dying daily, Lord God, that you may reign, Lord. Lord, reigning in your resurrection, being resurrected in your believing children. Father, thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts, Lord. Father, we ask, oh God, that you would bless our pastor, Lord, as he has been a blessing to us and no doubt to the kingdom of God. Bless him for every effort, Lord, that he has put forth, Lord, to his servitude, to you and to the people, Lord. Bring in the word, Lord, that your people may draw closer to you. Father, we're so grateful for his life, and we ask, oh God, that you keep a hedge about him to keep him and protect him. Protect his family, Lord, and if you ever remove the hedge, just remove the front, Lord, that he may see that devil coming, Lord, and stand and face him face to face. Not only he, but all the saints, Lord Jesus. I pray, Almighty God, you're covering upon this your children, Lord. Father, as we prepare to leave, Lord, this place, Lord, we know that we will be repudiated by the world, rejected on every side, Lord, but we must speak. We must stand as the children of Almighty God. For we are the final voice, Lord God. The people have to hear a voice, Lord, in order to change their minds and repent, Lord, over the things that they're doing, Lord God. Oh, Father, may we not hold back, but use wisdom. Be led of the Spirit, Lord. Keep our mouths shut, Lord, until you're ready for us to open to speak your word. Bless your children, Father. Thank you again so much for visiting us today. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for dealing with our hearts. Thank you for the Holy Ghost, Lord, that's able to quicken the word to our lives, Father. We love you. We bless your name. Be with your children, Lord God, as we prepare to leave this place. Bring us all back at the appointed time, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may have your seats. And our brethren will come and dismiss you.